Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome in to a very special edition of Musical Chairs this week. Patrick O'Dowd, who normally does Musical Chairs with me, is actually rocking his ass off as we speak at a Metallica concert. His second in 3 days. As he explained to me, they did back-to-back shows, but they weren't really back-to-back. There was one, then they took a break, and then they came back on Sunday because, as Ray Cash said, they're old. Or DP, maybe. One of them said they're old, and so they need a break in between sets. And, you know, that makes a lot of sense. So Pat's not here. He is rocking and having all sorts of fun at Gillette Stadium, Metallica. So I got a pinch hitter in here for Musical Chairs this week. Somebody who's a big music fan, has been mentioning several times in conversations between us and PC Tunney that we should do a music-centric podcast. And when he said that, I said, hey, you know, have you heard of this little thing we got going on the chair shop called Musical Chairs? You might want to check it out, that sort of thing. So he did, and he liked what he heard. And so he's going to bat in Patrick's place here today. He will be the proxy. So I want to welcome into Musical Chairs for the very first time. You guys have heard him on the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He is the grand poobah there. You've heard him on Attitude of Aggression and the Big Five Project as one of the three musketeers who run that show and talk about retro wrestling at the highest of levels, even when we're dealing with 1993. But it is the one and only DJ from the Mindless Wrestling podcast, DJ Brother. You've heard him on Bandwagon Nerds, too. I left that part out. How are you doing, man?
Dave, doing well, man. Just like we were talking in the pre-show, got back from a little much-needed massage, took care of some problem areas, and now I'm here to talk music with you. You're right. I've been wanting to do a music-centric. My girlfriend and I went to Welcome to Rockville in Daytona this year, and she and I did a little, you know, 90-minute episode talking about our experience there. Had a great time doing that with her, and I know, you know, a lot of us have similar music tastes. So I just thought, and without even knowing that this podcast existed.
Yeah. And man, you talk about problem areas getting fixed in a massage. God, I got a lot of those. I need some problem areas worked on as well. So maybe I need.
Well, we're not young anymore, Dave.
No, that's right. This might be the first time 250-year-olds have done a podcast solo. I mean, Tunney kind of, when we have him on, he kind of brings the average age down a little bit. So that helps.
He does.
But not here today. So. Yeah, this should be an interesting show. And what we'll do on this one is I'm going to go first. And I'll just tell you guys right now, I'm like looking at my soundboard. It's like, I think I only have one commercial. So you're not going to get the normal two commercials. Normally, Patrick and I have a lot of small talk and chit chat and waste, you know, not waste, but get past the first commercial marker where we can do a commercial break. But here, since I'm looking at this thing and shit, I think I only got like one commercial. All right. I guess we're only doing one commercial today. So I'm going to get into it. And the backstory of the band that I want to cover, and it's interesting because last week we didn't do Musical Chairs as well. No, it was 2 weeks ago we were first going to do this, and then last week got messed up through so my dog was at the vet, and then I told Patrick, I don't think I'm going to make it. Then I did, and Pat's like, I'm going to mow my lawn. I was like, oh, well, you know, sometimes you got to mow your lawn. But I talked to Tunney and DJ. We were thinking about doing a three-man sort of musical chairs a couple weeks ago, and I threw this band out there to see what the guys thought, because it's one of the most recognized bands in history in the world. And I'm like, God, I wonder if this is one where maybe it should be a joint conversation. They're such a well-renowned band and such a well-recognized artist that maybe it makes more sense to talk about this collectively. But I soon discovered that, you know, DJ and Tunney were like, yeah, we like them, but they're not the greatest thing in the world. So you go ahead and talk about them yourself. And I'm like, okay, so I can do that. And the band that I want to cover is none other than the Rolling Stones. And the Stones are, I mean, you think about longevity. These guys have been around for 7 decades, DJ. 7 decades they've been touring and putting out music. That's 70 years to you and me. That's like even in dog years, that's a damn long time. So these guys have been doing this for a very long time. They've put together so many albums, so many songs, so many like top hits. Everybody knows a Rolling Stones song. They've got probably the most recognizable logo in all of music. I would say you could put that up there with the tongue and the lips and all that sort of thing. And you think that they're a band that started off in 1962. So a lot of people like to draw the comparisons between the Stones and the Beatles, right? For good reason. You know, these are the two biggest bands in the world out there at the same time. And people in the late in the 60s and early 70s before the Beatles broke up, like to pit these two bands against each other and create a rivalry. Whereas in reality, the two bands were very good friends with each other. Each one, John Lennon appeared on Rolling Stones album, Mick Jagger appeared on some Beatles albums. So the only thing they were really competing for was your dollar, that sort of thing. And a lot of people were just buying both of them. So I've always loved the Stones. I mean, when I was like young, first getting into music was right about when Tattoo You came out. And they had kind of been, you know, it'd been like a few years since they had an album, and then Start Me Up came out. And that Rolling Stones live tour, I think they did a live album called Still Life, was one of the first ones that I got from them. And that live album and that tour was, I mean, it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. Sellouts everywhere and just the level of excitement off the charts. And fast forward to today, guy I work with up in Fresno just went to see them at the 49ers stadium, Levi Stadium up in Santa Clara, and said it was a tremendous show. These guys are 70 right now. A lot of the members have passed on. Well, not a lot, but a couple have passed away. When they first started, like Brian Jones was one of the main guys in the band. And then, you know, he quit and OD'd like a month later or something like that. Certainly a band not without their controversy. They've been involved in, you know, the Altamont incident. Lots of links between these guys and drugs. Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, especially Keith Richards. Lots of linking to them with drugs and that sort of thing. So they've got a bit of a checkered reputation. I talked about the Doors a couple weeks ago and how Ed Sullivan insisted that Jim Morrison switch the words to Light My Fire. And Jim basically said, fuck you, and did his own thing. And the Stones got the same sort of edict for Let's Spend the Night Together, where Ed Sullivan didn't want it to be Let's Spend the Night Together because that had too much sexuality to it. So they switched the words to Let's Spend Some Time Together. But when you watch Mick Jagger do the performance on the Ed Sullivan show, when he says, Let's Spend Some Time Together, he rolls his eyes and it is very, very noticeable. And they didn't get asked back to the Sullivan show for quite some time, but then they did return. They're like just this band that you think about. I mean, when people, if you go to somebody and say, name your top five rock and roll acts of all time, probably 80, 90% of people are going to say the Rolling Stones are going to come to mind immediately because they're just that recognizable. And they've been around for so long and they kind of started off as like a cover band sort of thing. And then they started to get their own hits. And, you know, I mean, Jesus, you could spend the next 15 minutes going down Rolling Stones hits, right? Satisfaction. You know, I mean, comes to mind, just so many different ones. So before I keep talking anymore, DJ, I want to turn it over to you. I know you didn't want to cover them like collectively, but I'm sure you've got your own thoughts on the Stones.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely a band that I like songs. Like I really do. And, you know, Jumpin' Jack Flash and, you know, there's just a litany of songs that I could go down the list. I couldn't tell you what song is one out on what album.
Right.
Like I'm not that kind of fan of theirs. And as much as I think they would be amazing to see live and I would probably enjoy it. I like the Stones better than the Beatles, and that may be sacrilege, But when I think of the, when I compare songs that I like by the Beatles and I compare songs by that I like by the Stones, there's probably twice as many, if not three times as many Rolling Stones songs that I like versus the Beatles. So it's interesting that you brought up that comparison at the beginning of that, because I really didn't know that there was this, because who does this? A fan generated rivalry between these two bands without knowing, you know, these guys actually got along really well. And I think people do that, like they fabricate these, because we see this in wrestling. You and I both do wrestling podcasts, right? And fans have fabricated this big wrestling war. And it's interesting to see that they do that with music as well. But yeah, the Rolling Stones, man, and highly, talk about influential. You know, so many people reach back to, oh, that was influenced by the Beatles and the Beatles and the Beatles. I'm looking around, I'm like, you can hear the Rolling Stones in just about any hard rock act or even rock and roll act that came out of the 80s and some of them even into the 90s. Like, it's there. Mick Jagger, incredible front man, still with youthful energy even today. The guy's close to 80, and I've seen video of him performing recently, and I'm looking at the guy, I'm like, he's making me tired. You know, he's 25 fucking years older than I am, at least. And he's out there going like he's, you know, like he's never going to die. And I think that's so fucking awesome that he can do that.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I love the, because it's so easy to look at it and you think about it and say, well, comparing the Beatles to the Stones is it's kind of like, it's low hanging fruit in a way. But, you know, you look at it and say, well, the two biggest bands in the world during this time frame are right there, the Beatles and the Stones. And
yeah,
and certainly the Beatles had a more, I'd say a more accessible sound to them than the Stones, because it was a little bit more poppy and a little bit more radio friendly. And you know, by and large, the Beatles were the prettier guys. I say that, but when you look at Mick Jagger and Keith Richards when they're young, it's like, well, they look kind of like the Beatles, that sort of thing. You know, the thing about the Stones, they've certainly gone through more lineup changes than the Beatles did, you know, with Brian Jones passing away. And then you got Ian Stewart coming in there. You got Ronnie Wood coming in later on. Charlie Watts was the drummer for a very long time until just, 3 years ago when he passed away. And then they've got, you know, different drummer. And the Stones are kind of one of those bands that even losing somebody like Charlie Watts, who I think is a horribly underrated drummer, it didn't really slow the train down that much. But, you know, I think of a lot of the times where you get Stone songs incorporated into pop culture and movies and things like that, like Gimme Shelter in Goodfellas, right? I mean, that sort of thing. Sympathy for the Devil and other sorts of movies. And you just think of... the way that the Stones have been integrated into so many different facets of Americana, even though they're an English band, you know, that sort of thing, that's hard to do. And they have just thrived for all these years. And the fact, like you're saying, Mick Jagger still nearly 80, Keith Richards, I mean, we were talking about it, how a couple weeks ago when Richard Simmons passed away and the memes were floating out there that Keith Richards is still alive after all the shit he's done to himself and Richard Simmons is gone, makes me rethink my entire life. I mean,
yeah, I've got a musician friend of mine that every time somebody passes away, he reminds us that Keith Richards is still with us.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is, you know, things were not always harmonious between the Rolling Stones either, especially Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, who had major, major falling outs, creative differences, differences in style. And yet these guys kind of always came back together. And that's not to say that Mick didn't go off and do his own solo stuff, because he did. And it was
had a hell of a solo career.
Huh?
Had a hell of a solo career, yeah, Mick Jagger did.
Yeah, I like a lot of his solo songs. Of course, I prefer the Stones. But so those guys, they went away and they came back. Now, there's, of course, the very big difference in that none of the Stones were assassinated in front of their home like John Lennon was.
Right.
Which, if that doesn't happen, is there any doubt that the Beatles get back together at some point and do some music together? So it's an incomplete and an unfair comparison. But at the same time, you know, you look at the Stones' longevity, and there are very few bands that can. I don't know of any bands that you can look at right now and say 7 decades. Show me.
Yeah.
Point to that. I mean, Rush was the closest thing you could get to that until Neil Peart died. And that even wasn't, you know, that was like 50 years. So
it's interesting that you talked about, you know, the way that Mick Jagger and it just fell right out of my head. God, I'm horrible at this.
Keith Richards.
Keith Richards. Yeah. The way they butted heads. Isn't that really kind of the way with a lot of these really top tier bands? I mean, you look at Joe Perry and Steven Tyler, Axl Rose and Slash. Creatively just combustible, but they made such beautiful art. And I really think that type of artistry comes with a very, very hostile and volatile personality. And it's interesting how those combustible elements combine to create just timeless music.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look at the friction in Metallica, where Pat's at right now. That band right there, all sorts of friction. They're still together. I mean, yeah. The only one you can look at, and I mentioned them, the only band that I know that got harmoniously well along for all those years was Rush. And that's even including Neil Peart going away for a while because he had his own personal problems with the death of his daughter, the death of his wife. But they, you know, they never broke up, that sort of thing. But then at the other side, look at, we've talked about it on last season of Musical Chairs, a band I covered, The Police. They got sabotaged due to their, I mean, how big could they have been if they just could have gotten out of their own way, right? I mean, they were huge already. And then they just started to disintegrate from within. So, yeah, you see that a lot. And the Stones, the fact that they've gone up and down and done through all this stuff and gone through everything, all the drugs, the deaths, the controversy at Altamont, where even the Hell's Angels couldn't keep that shitstorm of a situation under control, but they persevered through all that and all that negativity and a lot of, you know, the media not exactly being on their side for a lot of the time. And they just kept chugging along, adapting to the times, making a few changes here and there, but their music has stayed largely really identifiable with that blues based sort of rock thing going on with them. And they're just, you know, they're clearly one of the most recognizable bands in the world. You could get lost in their history for an hour, which, of course, we don't have the time to do that. So I'm going to give you guys the two songs that I'm going to play for the Rolling Stones at the end that are kind of like, I don't know, one of them's kind of a deeper cut, sort of. And then the other one's just my favorite Stones song of all time. So the deeper cut one comes off of, I think this is on Tattoo You, actually, and it's Waiting on a Friend. And I love the beginning of this song, and it's just a catchy sort of song, and it's certainly not the most popular song from that album, which had Start Me Up, Hang Fire, and, you know, a bunch of other stuff on there that became more popular. But Waiting on a Friend has always been one of those songs that just, you know, and in the video of that is great because it's Mick and it's Keith, and they weren't exactly getting along splendidly at that point in time, so it's kind of a cool thing. And my favorite Stone song of all time is Beast of Burden. That's just my song. I've always loved that song for some reason. It's always been the one that I've gravitated to. But yeah, you could list 10, 20. Gimme Shelter is probably one of my other favorite songs that I love by these guys. But yeah, the Rolling Stones are my band choice of this week. It was one that I've been wanting to cover for a while. And I'm sure we'll probably hear about the Beatles some other time, probably maybe before the end of this season. We'll see. But we're going to take our first and only commercial break. Then we are going to come back, and DJ is going to surprise me because I have no idea where he's going with this thing. I'm very eager to find out where we are going with this and have DJ regale us with his information. But you are listening, my friends, to Musical Chairs right here on the Chairshot Radio Network, a part of the Chairshot.com.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of 5-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out TheChairShot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, TheChairShot.com.
All right, we're back. I've told you guys all about the Rolling Stones. DJ's added some stuff in there as well, as he's a big Stones fan. Really, who isn't? If you're a music fan, unless you're totally into country music, and if you are, that's fine. But otherwise, hey, even if you are, there's probably some Stones songs you could get into. But none of that matters. DJ, tell us who you got, man. Give us, talk about your band, man. I have no idea who they are.
So we are going to travel back to the late 70s, early 80s to Long Island, New York.
I'm intrigued already.
You're freaked already. The band I have chosen is Twisted Sister.
Ooh.
And Twisted Sister, now, they're listed as starting in in Long Island, New York. But the history of the band actually goes back a little further to 1972 with a different band that started in New Jersey, but I'm not going to go that far back for the sake of the show. Twisted Sister, really kind of an underrated metal band from the 80s. And, you know, you think about their biggest album, which was Stay Hungry, had two massive hits that are still relevant today. Like, you still hear I Want to Rock and We're Not Going to Take It in just media today. Movies still use these songs. The latter of the two, We're Not Going to Take It, has become kind of a hot button issue with frontman Dee Snider, because the Republicans have chosen to use it at some of their rallies. He took umbrage with that. He, you know, made some claims. I don't know if he, you know, pressed legal action. I follow Dee on the app formerly known as Twitter. He's actually a pretty interesting follow, a pretty smart guy too, as the PMRC found out in the late 80s when they, you know, had this big Senate hearing over wanting to put censorship labels on heavy metal and hard rock albums. And one of the people that they decided they were going to come in and try to, you know, pin to the wall and make look like crap and kind of like use him as the poster child, like, this is why we want to do this, was Dee Snider. They should, in his own words, they should have vetted him a little better, because he came in there and eviscerated the entire hearing, which was incredible at the time. Unfortunately for him, it put him at odds with his record label. It put him at odds with the music industry, because the music industry was ready to fall in line because they were worried about losing money. And, you know, they wanted a certain image, and he didn't want the labels, the parental advisory labels on his albums. And in lieu of putting the stickers on there, some record labels were actually incorporating it into the album cover art, which he took big umbrage with. Twisted Sister really didn't hit much bigger than the Stay Hungry album. They had several different albums. The first one was Under the Blade from 1982, which has a couple of really good songs on it. The follow-up album in 1983 was Can't Stop Rock and Roll, and this is where I really think that they really started to catch on and catch notice. The title track from that album is really, really good, and there's a few other bangers. But Stay Hungry was where they peaked in 1984. As I said before, I Want to Rock, and, you know, We're Not Going to Take It, still hugely influential to this day. Rock anthems, and good stuff to just listen to and turn up. The lineup pretty much stayed the same over the years. You know, lead singer Dee Snider, guitarist J.J. French and Eddie Fingers Ojeda, Mark the Animal Mendoza on bass, and A.J. Perro on drums. And I believe A.J. Perro passed away in 2016. I think he died of cancer. I believe it was him. I'd have to look back at my research again. One interesting thing, and you know, I'm going to kind of get into, you know, a couple of the albums here. For me personally, the follow-up to Stay Hungry was an album called, and it just fell right out of my head, Come Out and Play was the name of the album. And this was where I really got into Twisted Sister. Like, I heard the radio hits.
This is where, wasn't this where they had Leader of the Pack, where they redid Leader of the Pack?
They did redid Leader of the Pack. Yes, sir. That was on that album. And it was an okay cover. It was a little odd listening to Dee Snider kind of sing those lyrics, given how the song, the original version of the song. And then, and I remember my buddy telling me, he's like, I just don't believe Dee Snider when he's singing these lyrics. But they also did another song called Be Cruel to Your School. And they did this. It was a collaboration with Alice Cooper. And the song is fun. It's tongue in cheek. The video, if you've never seen the video for this, go look it up, because it's absolutely outrageous. Like, it's a zombie type thing, and I think MTV wouldn't play it. That's how outrageous it was. But it's just a fun little thing. But there were some other really good hits on there. The CD and the cassette versions, there was a bonus track called King of Fools, which is a ballad. And that ended up being like one of my favorite songs of theirs, just because that time period in my life that I was going through, this would have been 84, 85. I think Come Out and Play came out in, I think, 86. But whatever it was, just the mentality that I was coming into my own as a teenager, a lot of the songs on Come Out and Play spoke to me. The title track is just a kick you in the ass. It kicks right in the very intro. The drums and the guitar and all of it just kick you in. Dee's vocals on this are incredible. And it's really, if you're a Twisted Sister fan, I think it's a must-have album, even though commercially and critically it didn't do nearly as well as Stay Hungry. Nothing did. They peaked, you know, in 1984, unfortunately. The follow-up to that album was one called Love Is for Suckers. And it was fine. it was a little less serious than some of the earlier works. The title track was okay. There was one good song on there that I really liked called Wake Up the Sleeping Giant, that again was just a good anthemic type rock song. I really don't have a whole lot to really go into. I wish I had a bit more. The two songs that I chose, one, and I did want to talk about this one for a little bit because it's actually a two-part song on the Stay Hungry album, is a bit of a deeper track. It was a two-part song called Captain Howdy and Street Justice. And interestingly enough, and Dave's kind of nodding, so I think he's probably a little bit familiar with it, but if you're not, I'm going to kind of lay out the story and pause me if you've heard this one and tell me if it sounds familiar. The Captain Howdy starts off with this character who does horrible things to kids. And this is kind of what the song is about. This guy, he's doing these horrible things to kids. And then he ends up, you know, getting caught, goes before the judge, and the judge ends up being kind of a knucklehead, and this gets thrown out. And then the second part of the song is Street Justice, where the people in this town where he did all these horrible things basically form a mob and go and take care of the guy and you know, handle things as mob mentality. And it's very, very similar to the 1984 movie Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, the story is exactly the same.
Right. And to add to that, if you recall, Captain Howdy was the name of the demon in The Exorcist that Reagan referred to the possessing entity as Captain, yes, Howdy. And when she's under hypnosis, they say, is this Captain Howdy? So I think they were heavily influenced by that. Obviously, Nightmare on Elm Street and just kind of the general tenor of that song, I think they had a lot of influence from that.
Yeah, it's interesting because in my research, it's hard to say which came first, the chicken or the egg here, because the song and the movie were both released in 1984, which means the production on both probably went back to 1983. So it's hard to say, you know, did they both just coincidentally pull the same story from the same source? Or did somebody know about something and they just kind of ran with it, did their own thing, and it just whatever ended up happening just was what it was. Interestingly enough, those songs would, Dee Snider would turn this into a movie version in the mid-late 90s. The 1998 movie Strangeland, he not only wrote, produced, but he starred in as the title character, Captain Howdy. And it really, it wasn't a bad mid-late 90s slasher, B-movie slasher flick. Like, it was fine. His acting in it was believable enough. He got himself in phenomenal shape for the role. You know, Dee always, you know, looked to be in pretty good shape, but he really kind of, like, bulked up a little bit, trimmed out a bit, and, you know, for the part he was, you know, meant to play, it was good. You know, Robert Englund was in it for a bit before, you know, he got taken care of. But as far as, you know, like, my two songs, I'm going to go to I want those two songs, Captain Howdy and Street Justice. You don't have to do both. And then the title for Come Out and Play, just because that song was, at that point in my life, I was kind of transitioning from the music I was listening to, which was my parents' music, which was, you know, the Rolling Stones, AC/DC. My dad was really into ZZ Top and things like that. So I was kind of looking for my own music.
You do kind of have their beard, D.
I do. I have the ZZ Top beard. I'm kind of, you know, hoping maybe they're looking for a bass player. Too early, too soon.
Hey.
But I was looking for something more. I wanted something heavier. I wanted something a little darker. And Twisted Sister, some of their deeper cuts, because I'll always maintain some of their best stuff never made it on the radio. And for me, Come Out and Play is probably one of their best overall musical songs.
So for me, Twisted Sister, yeah, I mean, this is right about the time, and I'm a little bit older than you. So, but this is the time when the thing about Twisted Sister is the videos. You can't talk about Twisted Sister without talking about the videos for We're Not Gonna Take It and I Wanna Rock, because they are, these are the cornerstone of MTV. MTV just celebrated 40 years of whatever it was, and we know videos have only been a part of it for a short period of time. But there were a handful of videos that came out when MTV launched. Those are two of them that put MTV firmly on the map, with Douglas C. Niedermeyer and just the whole, you know, and I think We're Not Going to Take It was the first one, if I remember correctly. And then, you know, the whole, everything it says, you know, is that a Twisted Sister pin on your uniform? And, you know, what do you want to do with your life? I want to rock.
I want to rock.
And I mean, that, I mean, kids nowadays, you know, you're not going to relate to it. But back in 84, when this comes out, oh, my God, you'd never seen anything like this. Like, and it introduced the whole notion of using music videos as a storytelling mechanism. You talk about wrestling. This was their version of that, because you had the story leading into the song, and then the song telling more of the story, and then the video overlaying that. So, yeah, they were. But I mean, I remember the first time I saw them, and they didn't. You know, okay, let's just be honest about it. So this is a time when you're not used to guys looking that much like girls and that sort of thing. And then, and then you come out Twisted Sister. It's like,
In the tight spandex women's makeup, teased hair.
And they were kind of the precursor to the glam and the hair metal that would be such a huge part of the mid to late 80s. And they kind of were there ahead of time. So they were trendsetters in that respect. But you know, they were all really good musicians. Dee Snider's been one of the most outspoken advocates against a lot of stuff in the music industry for years and years and years, talking about things like that. But they probably are underrated from a musical standpoint, I would say. You know, like, I think one of my favorite songs by them is off Stay Hungry is like The Price. Is one of my favorite songs by them. And Shoot 'Em Down's not on Stay Hungry, but it's somewhere else. And I think I've always loved that song. So, yeah, that's a great choice, man. I mean, Twisted Sister is one of those bands that, you know,
they kind of get lost to history. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, they didn't have, I would say, they didn't have the staying power of some of the other bands that came after them. You know, bands like Rat, Poison, Bon Jovi, things like that, who really kind of took that next step and elevated and went to that next level. Van Halen, you could throw them in there as well. So they started or were there right when the movement started. And then, like, I think you're right, they kind of got lost in the shuffle. History forgot about them a little bit. D went on to other sorts of things, and they didn't stay around and keep touring for 40 years like a lot of these, you know, Poison's still out there sometimes, that sort of thing. But yeah, but musically they were always really solid, even though this outlandish look to them, like, wow, what the hell is going on here?
I if you liked the stuff you heard on the radio, I invite people to dig deeper into the Twisted Sister catalog, because there really is some good stuff. There's a song on Stay Hungry called Burn in Hell,
yes,
which is pretty dark, pretty deep. It's pretty heavy. And, you know, that was really the stuff that I was looking for. I was like, because some of the music that I was listening to at that point in my life was really cookie cutter. And I wanted to branch out. I wanted something heavier, something that, you know, a bit more spoke to that rebellious teen that I was going through in that time. And Twisted Sister was right up there. And my buddy introduced me to the Come Out and Play album. And I was like, it blew my mind. Like, it stands as much as God, Stay Hungry was their biggest hit. Come Out and Play is my favorite album by them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it's a testament, like we've always said, music is really something that I think people get lost and just completely undersell the fact that writing a record album of hit songs is really, really, really fucking hard, because it is hard to write lyrics. It's hard to write music. It's hard to blend these all together and then do it 8 times or 10 times on a record and then do that every 3 or 4 years. That's really difficult. So, yeah. You know, and Twisted Sister got at least a few of those right. So great choice, man. I love it. I was not expecting to hear Twisted Sister come out of your mouth. That's fantastic. I love it, because I've got, Patrick will find out in a few weeks, I've got some hair metal bands I think are going to be coming up, because I've woefully ignored that. And that was like my jam when I was a kid. So I probably need to cover a little bit more of them. But that's going to do it for this edition of Musical Chairs, Rolling Stones, Twisted Sister. You'll hear the samples of the songs on the outro. DJ, thank you so much for being a part of Musical Chairs, brother. Let people know, where can they check you out on social media and where you're lurking these days on thechairshot.com?
On the app formerly known as Twitter, you can find me at The Mindless Pod. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast drops on Saturdays on the Chairshot Radio Network. We got an awesome episode out this week. Very, very proud of that one. If you guys would go check it out, go listen to it. We interviewed a couple guys who are doing a documentary that's kind of wrestling based around Dorton Arena in Raleigh, North Carolina. I if you love history and pro wrestling history, go listen to that episode and then check out the documentary on PBS this coming Friday.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. And as for me, you can check me out on the app formerly known as Twitter, Elon's platform, at Attitude Ag, that is at Attitude AGG, facebook.com/attitudeofaggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. And of course, make sure you are checking out all the great content at thechairshot.com. Make sure you go and check out the chair or pro wrestling tees /thechairshot.com, where we have many, many, many t-shirt options. Unfortunately, if you listen to Bandwagon Nerds, you know that the offer to have DP show up at your house in cutoff jeans and a halter top to wash your car is off the table, because he went and bought the third Bandwagon Nerd shirt. I don't know what we're going to do about that, Deej. We're going to have to come up with something else. I'm disappointed. Yeah. But that's going to do it for this week's edition of Musical Chairs. DJ, thank you again for being a part of this. Next week, we'll see what Patrick comes up with in response to Twisted Sister and the Stones. It's going to be an interesting one. But until then, thank you guys so much, and we will catch you later. Out of these girls are passing by, the tales they tell of men. I'm not waiting on a lady. I'm just waiting on a friend. Yeah.
Feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.